Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be here today, and got your bulletins open there. We're looking at Psalms 119, verses 124 to 126, and I've titled this message, Faithful Servant. And that should be our goal. It should be all our goals, to be a faithful servant of the Lord. And it is not an easy goal. It's easy to understand, but not easy to do and apply. So I'm going to try to show a little bit from the Word of God today, this process of being a faithful servant. Hope we can get there. So as a way of introduction, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We actually started verse 3. Starting in verse 3. Read 3 through 5 here. We'll see this battleground we have as part of being a faithful servant. 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We see here what exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's our imaginations, it's those high things. The battleground becomes our mind. What do we have to do? But to bring every thought we have into captivity. And that's not easy with this busy world we're in, with this crazy world we're in today. It's so easy to get caught up in the news, what's going on with our country, maybe with our neighbors, our family, whatever. All that is like, wow, it's all part of life, it's all happening. It comes back to be a faithful servant, I still have to bring every thought I have into captivity to the Lord. Because we know what controls our actions. Everybody's like, what controls our actions? It starts with our thoughts. And that's why we have to bring our thoughts captive to the Lord. It starts with our thoughts. Our thoughts control our attitude. Our attitude controls our actions. So, to be a faithful servant, what are your thoughts? So, let's look a little more into this and see this battleground. See that we have the Lord on our side. Guess what? He is not going to control our thoughts. He gives us free will, a free choice for these thoughts we have. You know, we hear some countries, some news outlets, some whatever, they just like, you can't think against that. You're wrong. You think that. That is not a good way to go. It's not what God's way is. He gives us free choice to think, to control our attitude, control our actions. He is not into the dictatorship. He's into free will, us following him. It's our choice to be the faithful servant. So, turn to our passage in Psalms 119. We start in the first point in verse 124 says, deal with thy servant according to thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. Starting off, to be a servant of the Lord, well, we're not automatically there, are we? We're not automatically just born to be a servant. What are we born to do? Basically, to serve our own self. Serve our flesh, serve whatever our vain mind thinks of. That's what we're born to do. So what do we need to do? First thing, get saved, right? Romans 10:9 tells us how to do that. That thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Accept the Lord. Confess and believe in your heart. Okay. Become a child of God when you do that. Now you're on your way. It's your first starting point. The very first thing to being a servant. The person that God wants you to be. After that, okay, if salvation is your starting point, what do you want us to do? Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. We can see again, start in verse 8, that salvation is free, just like Romans 10:9 tells us, hey, just choose to follow the Lord, accept Him. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's just a free gift. Accept it. Okay, verse 10 is the key here. If I want to be a servant, a faithful servant, Lord, I've got saved. That's number one. I'm a child of God. What next? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, you got saved. You're created unto good works to follow Him. Huh. It's not just about salvation, is it? Not about heaven or fire insurance from hell, is it? It's about following Him. It's about being created in the good works, because in the end, it's those works that we will be judged on. So, in Psalms 124, he's saying, Psalmist David here is telling us, deal with thy servant according to thy mercy. First of all, become a servant. Get saved. Realize that we are created unto good works of God. And it says, this is a prayer of David here. David's asking for prayer from God. He's saying, deal with thy servant according to thy mercy. Guess what? We still have this flesh. We still have this old nature in us. What's going to happen? We're going to mess up. We're going to fall down. We're going to trip. We're going to have sin because our flesh still is here in us, isn't it? Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy. That's where that Paul, David is praying for this. Like, hey, I need mercy in this. We all need mercy. So we have to pray. First point here today is pray. A faithful servant prays. And David is praying. He's praying for mercy. God, deal with thy servant according to thy mercy. Hey, I'm your servant. Have mercy on me because I'm going to make a mistake. That's a good starting place to have. Realize, hey, nobody's perfect. The only one was Jesus. But He laid out this perfect word and His perfect will for us that we're needing to follow. As we travel for Him, things are going to happen. So we pray for the mercy from God. Like, hey, deal with us mercifully, Lord, as we're trying to please You and be a faithful servant. Then when it says, and teach me thy statutes. Once again, it's a prayer. So David's praying for mercy, and he's praying to be taught the Word of God. Teach me thy statutes. Do we have that same prayer today as a faithful servant? Let's look at passage. We'll walk through it, and it just really ties this point together. It's Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting in verse 17. We're going to see why we need mercy here, because we still have the old nature in us. But starting in verse 17, it says, Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Don't do that. Don't walk as other Gentiles. The vanity of your mind. Back to the opening point, the introduction. Where is the battlefield? It's in our mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5, that battles our mind. We have to bring every thought captive. Don't let that control us. Don't walk in the vanity of our mind. What are we supposed to do? Philippians 2:5 tells us, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Take the mind of Christ. Take God's mind, His word. Throw your mind out and put His mind in your mind to guide you. Don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The only way to do that is replace our mind with something else called God's mind, His word. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Why are they blind? Through the ignorance of the word. They don't have the word. The vanity of the mind, the Gentile mind, is ignorance of the word. That is the need, shows the need to replace our mind with God's mind. Look at verse 19, Ephesians 4. who being past feeling have given themselves over to unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 19, we look at that. What's going on there? Were they made to do that? Give themselves over to lasciviousness? No. Have given themselves over. They chose to do that. There we go. Faithful servant needs to choose not to do that. Stay out of the vanity of the mind. Stay out of those sins that are an uncleanness that our natural mind has. Our choice. Verse 20 here. But ye have not so learned Christ. What was David praying for in the Psalms? Praying to be taught the word. So have you learned Christ? Ye have not so learned Christ. You didn't learn from God to do those things. That stuff was natural. It just was here. In your mind. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. There's the if. If so be that ye have heard him. Have you been taught in Jesus? Have you been taught the word? Whose responsibility is it to teach the word? Well, Holy Spirit's inside of us. We're reading the word in the local church. To be taught, teach those folks in the church their word. The word of God. Teach the word of God. That is found in the whole lesson, understanding of the church is found in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. We won't turn there, but that's where it's laid out. Hey, the church has responsibilities. 2 Timothy 2, 2 also tells us you have, as a church, you have a responsibility to learn the word. Now, to be a faithful servant, we have to choose to use what God has given us. He's given us his word, he's given us his spirit, that seal, and he's given us the church to help. So, have you learned Christ? Verse 22 in this, Ephesians 4, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. There's another choice again. What happens? That ye put off. We have to choose to do that. We have to choose to do that. David was praying for mercy. To be taught the word, we have to choose to do that, to put off that old man, that old nature. Verse 24, or 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Daily in the word of God. Once again, our choice. That's what God wants for us. That's what it takes to be that faithful servant. You see verse 24. Four, another choice, that you put on the new man, which after God is creating righteousness and true holiness. Our choice to put it on. Our choice to put off the old man, our choice to put on the new man. We don't live in a dictatorship, do we? We don't have mind control. We just have a plan laid out for us by God. This is what we need to do. Choose to follow him. Choose to be a good servant. A lot of prayer needed there for that mercy and to be taught the word, right? As we deal with this battleground of our mind. Back to Psalms. We'll go to the second point. Psalm 119. See in verse 125. Start 124 again. Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. 125. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. You see that next level? Next level David's praying for her. He's saying, like, hey, I am thy servant. He's went through the process of recognizing it, praying for being a servant. Now he's I know him, sir. I am my servant. And he's pleading for that understanding. Just the deepest heartfelt desire to plead for that understanding of the word that we need to have as we're going through our process of being a faithful servant. Recognize that, hey, I am thy servant. I know it beyond all shadow of any doubt. I know why God has me here and what's going on. Because remember, we are created in His good works, to do His good works. When we recognize this, I believe in our process of spiritual growth, recognize that, guess what? When I got saved, going through this, God has me here. I'm in God's army. It's that recognition that there's a battle. Starts in my mind. It's all around. Spiritual battle. I am in the army. We have to recognize that and understand that, hey, it's a battle. It's all spiritual. It's a battle. But I'm in the army of God here. I am my servant. Can you stand up and say that? As you go through the process, we need to be able to do that. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Starting verse 1, actually. Starting verse 1. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Don't be weak. Be strong in this grace that God has given. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, saying, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Teaching the word. All the generations of folks that God has planned out for us, giving the word out. And then in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When you got saved, you're in the army. And now we're at this point, we're realizing this. Like, hey, I'm pleading for understanding the word. I'm in the army here. You're going to endure hardness. In verse 4, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Been chosen to be a soldier. I'm not going to war and entangle myself with the affairs of this life. How do we do that? We get the mind of Christ motion in us. That battleground. The battleground of our mind. That's what entangled us with this life. And here's God saying, hey, this is the plan I laid out. Stick with it. Can we say, I am my servant? That's that process that we come to. Like, hey, I realize that now. I am my servant. As a servant, if you make that statement, what are you going to do? You're going to follow His command. What is one? Very familiar one, right here in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As a servant, I will study the word. I don't want to be ashamed of judgment seat, because I'm a workman. My work's going to be judged. Praying, David's praying for this and pleading. Just adamantly pleading and praying for this understanding of the word. What's God say in 1 Corinthians 14:20? It's like a pretty cool statement made here. 1 Corinthians 14:20, made by Paul to the Corinthians. It's a command. He says, brethren, be not children in understanding. How being in mouth, be children. But in understanding, be men. Don't take this understanding in a childlike manner. Take it as a grown-up adult and get it. Go for it. Kind of sense that urgency there that Paul had, just like David was praying for. Hey, be an adult. Be a man in this understanding. Go for that. Don't take it lightly. Because, why? In our whole process, why? It's found in Philippians 3:10. Charles recently went over in his message, Philippians 3:10. Why do I plead for understanding? Why should I be an adult, be a grown up, be a man in this understanding? In verse 10, that I, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his servants and be made conformable unto his death. That I may know him. I may really know the Lord. I am his servant. Wow. That urgency, that pleading for understanding the word is just that next step, that process that we have to have after we accept the Lord, after we became a saint. You know that? When we became got saved, Romans 10:9, you became a saint. You're a saint of God. Not in the traditional sense that we hear about, but you're some other religion and stuff, but you are a saint. You believe in the Lord, you accept him, you're a saint. Now, it's like, hey, the next step, I am a servant now. I'm going to follow you and do what you would have for me, Lord, do. So our job is to search it out, to see what the Word says, tells us how to live our life, and realizing that that battleground, main battleground, is in our mind. Back to Psalms. We can kind of see a process going here. We'll see it in 126. It's a pause process here for David. He says, after he says in 125, I am my servant, give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. As a faithful servant, you took a stand on his word, you learned his word, you're doing the best you can, you're fighting a spiritual battle, the battle of your mind, the spiritual battle all around us. You take a pause, and you let God grant you the wisdom to deal with what's coming your way. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. See that process? It's time for thee, Lord, to work. You give me this knowledge. I'm pleading for this understanding. I have better understanding. It's time for you to work now. Stuff comes your way. Let the Lord work. Let the Lord grant you the wisdom. Proverbs 2:6. What it says real quick. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The Lord's the one that giveth the wisdom. From his word, we have the knowledge and understanding, and he gives us wisdom. Once we have the knowledge and understanding, he gives us some wisdom. So, see why David's, in our passage here, he's kind of pausing. It's time for thee, Lord, to work. Guess what? What else does that thing go? Like, hey, I can't do it. My flesh can't fight this battle. Because my flesh is going to lose this deal, and I'm not going to be what God would have me to be if my flesh is winning the battle. When you think about it in the context, he's pausing, letting the wisdom go. He's heard the word. David has heard the word here. He's listening closely to what the word says. He said, it's time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void the law. The word is not functioning around me in this world, in my flesh. Not functioning. So what is he allowing to do? He's pausing to get the wisdom to know how to live his life, to know how to complete the commands that God has laid out for him. In other words, he's becoming a good soldier. When you pause, you understand what God has said, you're asking for the wisdom, he's giving it, mercifully giving you some wisdom. You know how to deal with it, and you become a good soldier. You've heard the commands of our commander-in-chief, and now you're going to go do it. Let's look, why is that so important? Why is that so important? Because everything on this earth we see, the physical side, is temporal. The eternal side is what matters. Ephesians, let's turn to Ephesians 1, starting in 13, and look at that real close. See this process of what David's going through here real close. Closely resembles it. We see the process that we need to do, starting in verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What happened there? The gospel of our salvation. We heard the word, we got saved. And the Holy Spirit sealed us to the day of redemption. Didn't go anywhere. He's there with us. Kind of resembles when he, like Dave was praying for mercy, praying for be taught the word here. Here I am, I'm ready to go. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption and the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Key word, earnest of our inheritance. See that? You got saved, you have an inheritance. We all have an inheritance with in heaven with the Lord. Our inheritance. We're all going to heaven. We're set up there. We've got our appointment made. That day is coming. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. So Paul is praying for these Ephesians. What's he praying for here? It means it's not guaranteed. He's saying it's not guaranteed, it's conditional. What's he praying for? Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Who gives us wisdom? The Lord does. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Shout all types together. You got saved. You're walking in his word. You're still a day of redemption. Now Paul's praying for it. Okay. That the Lord may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Apply what we've learned. Be a good soldier of the Lord. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. There's that understanding. Pleading for that understanding. Heartfelt desire to get it. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his saints. Do we have that desire to have that understanding that Paul's praying for here? That God wants to give us so we know the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of whose inheritance? It's his inheritance in the saints. If you look closely, you got our inheritance 14, you got his inheritance 18. You got two inheritances. One we're guaranteed to have. One we're not, because Paul's praying for it. That is some wisdom that is not taught very often right there. You will not hear about it much, will you? There it is, written in words, Word of God, laid out. The final goal for us is to get his inheritance. Are we striving for that? Are we taking the same attitude David has for that? To being the faithful servant, becoming a saint, accepting him, praying for mercy and to be taught the word. Are we pleading for that understanding? Hey, God, here's some I want your understanding. Guess what? If you look real close in here, what's the word? You got wisdom and understanding in this passage right here. Here it is. Laid out in the Word of God. You don't have to go rub a lamp, roll the dice, read the cards, whatever. Here it is. This is wisdom and understanding from God, given by God to us. What are we doing with it? Do we yearn for it, to understand it, to realize the importance of it? That is the key right there that God wants us to do, to realize the importance of this. Understanding the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Riches of glory of his inheritance. Wow. The eternal inheritance of the Lord. To be with him. To be his servant for all of eternity. His faithful servant for all of eternity. Now, that's when you become a good soldier then. You're becoming what God wants you to be, that understanding of having that. Here is the common sense side of this thing. Here it is, the Word of God laid out, seeing and having this wisdom and understanding, if we are not a faithful servant now, why would he let us be a faithful servant in the future? It's just common sense. There's judgment coming that's going to tell us whether we are a faithful servant now. And that's what we'll turn to next. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, familiar passage. Remember, we are his workmanship, created unto good works. Ephesians 2:10. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us judgment's coming on these works. Starting in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Every man's work, the fire will try it. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. That reward is eternal. It's in heaven. It's not here. The judgment seat of Christ. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Not going to lose your salvation. Eternally sealed, the Holy Spirit. But you're going to suffer loss. What do you lose out on? His inheritance, that second inheritance. Don't miss out on that. We should want to be that faithful servant that becomes a faithful soldier for all of eternity, doing what God wants us to do and serving at the pleasure of our commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. What an awesome thought. Finally, let's look at Colossians 4:5. Remember David, in this point, he was pausing for some wisdom there. What's this command from Paul in Colossians 4:5? Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Without means outside of God, outside of what God's plan is. Without. First point we talked about. What's outside the will of God? It's our mind, our fleshly mind, our old nature, our old self. You put it in that context, like, whoa, think about this. Walking in wisdom toward them that are out. Hey, I need to be walking in wisdom toward my flesh. Redeeming the time. Understanding my flesh does not want to follow the wisdom of God. I'm learning to walk in wisdom toward my own flesh, because that's where the battleground's at. That's a very good precept to understand and follow right there. Easy to take this verse and look at the others around you. And we do need to take it that way. The others around us, walk in wisdom toward them. But it starts with our mind, our flesh. Walk in wisdom toward it. Redeem the time. Are we renewing our mind daily in the Word? Are we pleading for that understanding that God wants us to have from His Word? Are we pausing to get the wisdom of God, to see what God has laid out for us, dealing with everything that comes our way? We seek in His wisdom in all things. We need to walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Let's take this now. Just try to apply it in our lives, realizing that judgment's coming on the works we have. We stand to lose a lot. His inheritance for all of eternity. Let's don't be one of those. Lord, I just thank you for this day, this word you've given us. Help us to take the simple truth of your word and to apply it. Lord, help us to see what it takes to be a faithful servant, starting with ourselves, our own mind, our own heart. Help us to have the good thoughts that lead to good attitudes, that lead to good actions. Lord, help us to redeem the time. Start with our flesh. And those that are without, help us to redeem the time and walk in wisdom, Lord. We just thank you and praise you now as we go forward. Bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.